It was in this humorless mood that my mother and sister found me when they came to visit during my first summer in New York. "He's so skinny," Maya said to my mother. "He only has 2 towels," my mother shouted as she inspected the bathroom. "And 3 plates." They both began to giggle. That summer, I had found a job clearing a construction site on the Upper West Side, so my mother and sister spent most of their days exploring the city on their own. When we met for dinner, they would give me a detailed report of their adventures, eating strawberries and cream at the plaza, taking the ferry to the Statue of Liberty, visiting the Cezanne's at the Met. I would eat in silence until they were finished and then begin a long discourse on the problems of the city and the politics of the dispossessed. I scolded Maya for spending one evening watching TV instead of reading the novels I had bought for her. I instructed my mother on the various ways that foreign donors and international development organizations like the one she was working for bred dependence in the Third World. When the two of them withdrew to the kitchen, I would overhear Maya complaining to my mother. "Barry's okay, isn't he? I mean, I hope he doesn't lose his cool and become one of those freaks you see on the street around here." One evening, I was thumbing through the Village Voice, and my mother's eyes lit on an advertisement for a movie, Black Orpheus, that was showing downtown. She insisted that we go see it that night. She said that it was the first foreign film she had ever seen. "I was only 16 then," she told us as we entered the elevator. "I'd just been accepted to the University of Chicago. Gramps hadn't told me yet that he wouldn't let me go, and I was there for the summer, working as an au pair. It was the first time I'd ever really been on my own. Gosh, I felt like such an adult. And when I saw this film, I thought it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen." We took a cab to the Revival Theater where the movie was playing. The film, a groundbreaker of sorts due to its mostly black Brazilian cast, had been made in the 50s. The storyline was simple. The myth of the ill-fated lovers Orpheus and Eurydice, set in the favelas of Rio during Carnival. In technicolor splendor, set against scenic green hills, the black and brown Brazilians sang and danced and strummed guitars like carefree birds in colorful plumage. About halfway through the movie, I decided I'd seen enough and turned to my mother to see if she might be ready to go. But her face, lit by the blue glow of the screen, was set in a wistful gaze. At that moment, I felt as if I were being given a window into her heart, the unreflective heart of her youth. I suddenly realized that the depiction of childlike blacks I was now seeing on the screen, the reverse image of Conrad's Dark Savages, was what my mother had carried with her to Hawaii all those years before, a reflection of the simple fantasies that had been forbidden to a white middle-class girl from Kansas, the promise of another life, warm, sensual, exotic, different. I turned away, embarrassed for her, irritated with the people around me. Sitting there in the dark, I was reminded of a conversation I'd had a few years earlier with a friend of my mother's, an Englishman who had worked for an international aid organization throughout Africa and Asia. He had told me that of all the different peoples he had met in his travels, the Dik of Sudan were the strangest. "Usually, after a month or two, you make contact," he had said. "Even where you don't speak the language, there's a smile or a joke, you know, some semblance of recognition. But at the end of a year with the Dik, they remained utterly alien to me. They laughed at the things that drove me to despair. What I thought was funny seemed to leave them stone cold." I'd spared him the information that the Dik were Nilots, distant cousins of mine. I'd tried to imagine this pale Englishman on a parched desert somewhere, his back turned away from a circle of naked tribesmen, his eyes searching an empty sky, bitter in his solitude. And the same thought had occurred to me then that I carried with me now as I left the movie theater with my mother and sister. The emotions between the races could never be pure. Even love was tarnished by the desire to find in the other some element that was missing in ourselves. Whether we sought out our demons or our salvation, the other race would always remain just that, menacing, alien, and apart. "Kind of corny, huh?" Maya said as my mother went to the bathroom. "What?" "The movie. It was kind of corny. Just Mom's style.